listening to a podcast from the Cinema Geekly Podcast Network. We're the geeks you deserve and the ones you need right now.
Cinema Geekly. As you've probably noticed, I am not Anthony, so there will be no Anthony Lewis on a podcast for the first time in, I don't know, 6 years. But it is Glenn, and I am with my friend Ty today. And
hello.
We're going to do a part two of E3. And probably go off the rails on some other stuff, because we haven't talked in a long time, so...
That's true, yeah. I made it to the big time now. I'm not on side B.
Yeah. We're on the front side. we're the single that got added to the album.
It's an honor.
Yeah, no, I'm glad you see it as such.
Yeah.
All right, so where would you want to start in E3? Because I know Anthony and Aurora talked about your typical stuff, you know, more PlayStation, because that's primarily what he has. And as the last podcast recorded, you're a Nintendo refugee, but it doesn't seem like Nintendo refugees are a thing anymore.
No, I'm not. I'm definitely no longer a refugee. I'm happily hanging out on Switch Island.
I know it's been, the Switch is going good. Their games are good. I mean,
I'm a resort. Let me start this off with a hot take about the Switch. The best game to me, bar none. Final statement. Is Donkey Kong Tropical Freeze. It's the best game on the Switch.
Oh, even more than Zelda.
Not Zelda. It's not Mario. It's Donkey Kong Tropical Freeze. And I know that's a Wii U port, but that's okay. I mean, I think it's good because, you know, well, a lot of these, you know, games are... a lot of them are either, like, Wii U upgrades. I mean, none of them, I guess, are quote-unquote direct ports. But, and I've loved Bayonetta and Bayonetta 2 are... Those are absolutely fantastic, but man, Donkey Kong Trouble Freeze is just perfect in every way. And there's a lot to, and I really love that Mario game. I've got another hot take. I'm a little lukewarm on Zelda. I've been investing my time into it, but
man, you're like the first person I've ever heard say that. And that would be my response if I played Zelda. But that's just because I don't like those types of games.
I love those types of games, but this one is not a. I even like the original Zelda, and I need to, like, I think I'm playing it the incorrect way. I don't know. There's something about the open-air style that is the go-anywhere, do-anything that's, like, more so than your traditional open world. I think that's why they, like, went with this open-air. There's something about me feeling like I'm needlessly, like, picking up every rock. I mean, granted, there's almost always an incentive to do it, but, man, it feels like at the end of the day that I have explored or labored over a tiny section of the map and done a whole bunch of cool little things, but it never felt like I accomplished anything. I think it's kind of like the MMO effect, I feel like, where it's great that I mined all these ores, but I spent 7 hours doing it and that's all I have, or, and it's not the game's fault, it's my fault, kind of, but it's a little bit, I kind of go a little bit both ways with it.
Oh yeah, that's always like, because my thing is, I don't want to feel like I spent all my time walking around and getting stuff. That's why I didn't that's why I don't like Fallout. It's really why I don't like Grand Theft Auto. Like, Grand Theft Auto to me is fun, but, like, I'm done with it after, like, a half hour.
It's a weird one because I really do love open world games. I play a lot of Witcher. I was obsessed with The Witcher, and I put, like, probably 200 hours into it, and it felt really good to get all the way through it. You know, I love it. And I know there's a hook. I've had some hooks in Zelda. The main parts... When I kind of get into and do the Divine Beasts and things, I'm, like, really in love with it. But I often find myself, like, just kind of getting in some tedium, which is it's weird. I'm definitely in the huge minority. Like, I'm in, like, the one percentile. But I know I'll get there eventually. I just not – it is the hooks aren't there for me. And I think a thing about the Switch Well, I can't even say that anything. This is a kind of a weird. We're already off the rails. But digital. I'm like pretty much strictly. Definitely I'm 100% digital on the Switch. And I'm pretty much turned that way on the PlayStation as well.
Oh, yeah. There's no reason. Why do I need to buy a hard copy game when I can't fucking play it without having the disc in there? Like, there's just no reason for it. If it's going to download onto the game, then why would I want the disc?
I love preloading them. I love having them ready to go. I love not having to go anywhere.
Yep.
But I've made this kind of discovery. It's the same discovery issue I have. Or the same problem I have with the Kindle, which I absolutely love, is that when they're all digital, I feel motivated to kind of like bop around, or I get more impatient with something instead of sticking with it. Like, where if I have a hardcover book or if I have the disc in there, I feel a little bit more obligated to do it instead of just jumping to the next thing. But when they're all digital, I just like, and I immediately start drifting, like, I kind of want to do this in Mario instead. And then I'll just switch over to there. And then I'll, instead of investing my time into like actually digging into one thing, which I usually enjoy more, I start.
Yeah, I guess you're right. I kind of did that with God of War, but it was more out of like pure frustration and anger.
Well, you did that. You did that to yourself.
it's my fault. It's as I'm sure people have heard me complain about. I usually play things on the hardest difficulty.
Like, I'm kind of amazed by that you went the hardest difficulty.
Having never played a God of War game.
That's it's crazy. I even went normal. I usually try to, I like hard usually. That's usually where I like to be. But I also try to like to go with, I generally like to go with kind of intent. I kind of want to see where they're at. And everything I kind of heard is that they really wanted you to be on, or they, you know, it was really intended for normal. And I've kind of gone back and forth. I think hard would have been maybe a little bit better, but
yeah, the challenging mode, the one right under Give Me God of War, from my roommate who started on Give Me God of War mode and then got right past the stranger and was like, oh, I can't do this.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a reason.
Luckily, that was pretty early on.
So. Yeah, because you can't, once you do it, you can't. And that was my thing is I got to the final boss in the final section of the final boss fight. And I finally had to look up, you know, watch a video of a guy who did it. And every video I find is like people playing on normal mode. And I'm like, this is a completely different game.
It is legitimately different. I've watched some differences. Yeah. It's pretty cool. Actually, the amount of stuff they do differently.
I mean, and it's funny because I hear critiques, like, I don't know. I know you watch Red Letter Media, but they do the previously recorded thing. And the thing that always irritates me about them is they're like, oh, this was so easy. And then they show clips of the game that they're playing. And they always play on like lower difficulties. Like, if you really want there to be a challenge, then you need to go higher. And I'm sure an argument would be made like, well, if normal's the thing that they originally intended, then blah, 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 it should be that challenge. Like, no, that's why you have different levels of difficulty. Like, I'm never going to beat Evil Within because I wanted to play it on the Japanese lettering. Like, that is 100% my fault. But, like, I'm fine with games being hard, but they should be impossible. I should not be able to punch something because they're covered in razor blades and then I take damage. Same thing in, like, God of War mode. Like, every time that they get stronger, they shouldn't also just get back all of their health.
And having to
kill things twice, like it is grueling at the beginning, and then once you first are able to do upgrades, it becomes much easier the middle half of the game. And then the problem is that once you get to that bottom third, you have to do nothing but story. And so when I saw a guy do it in God of War mode, he had like level 7 upgraded, so it would have been level 10 armor, and I was at level 5 armor upgraded to 7. So, sure, I mean, huge difference in stats. Difference. I can't believe, I really can't believe I did it. I mean, it only happened like 2 days ago, but
I'm not finished with it yet, so yeah.
I'm just so amazed that I was able to, because I thought I was going to have to start over, because I had no auto saves, so I couldn't go back to get anything stronger, because my last manual save that I did, well, every time you die, it resaves. My auto saves are eaten up by me dying, because I died a lot. And my last manual save was like right whenever you Meet the Stranger the first time.
Yeah,
so
okay.
You, I wasn't going to go no. through the whole game again.
I want to talk about that, actually, that fight, because I started this pretty much right off the heels of Infinity War. And okay. that Stranger fight, I was more enraptured with that fight than I was that entire movie.
You didn't like Infinity War?
I know. I thought Infinity War was great. I just thought that there's something about the personal agency. I've always kind of felt that way about that. I've felt the same way about Resident Evil.
Well, and, like, it's not horror genre. So, it's just,
like, there's something about that. It's the way they still take the camera away from you a little bit, but the way they do those, I mean, there's one, it's no cuts, like this one shot moving camera. It was just so cinematic and it zooms in so well and you're like in the fight yourself. Oh man, that really resonated with me. It kind of blew my mind.
Yeah, I mean, I will say this game has been like the most satisfying game because it was so damn hard. The most sure. satisfying game I've ever beaten. I mean, if I ever beat Evil Within on Japanese lettering, like, I'll never have to touch a video game again. I mean, it won't happen because I haven't touched it since I bought it, and yeah, it's just not going to happen.
I strongly, man. You probably enjoy it pretty well if you just bumped it one notch down.
Yeah, probably. But my thing is, I wish they would do it because they did it on the Arkham games. They've done it on a couple other ones. I think they did it on maybe Last of Us. But like, where you can play hard and then you unlock a harder difficulty.
Yes.
Because that was my problem with God of War. I beat it and I'm like, man, I really want to play this game again. But it's like, I definitely don't want to do God of War mode again.
I honestly think they just gave it to you in the beginning. Like, I think like that's got to be their intention.
Yeah, I guess the thing is
hard,
like,
and then do New Game Plus on.
Yeah,
God of War mode.
I mean, I should have. And that's the problem. I don't think they shouldn't have. You should have had to have unlocked it. I think it's something I would have appreciated because then I would have wanted to do it again. Granted, it is a huge difference going from that level to the next, especially the health.
Yeah.
It's the health is where the big difference is.
I'm definitely considered it.
Because they do as much damage, but it's your health.
Gotcha. I've really considered doing New Game Plus for that, but we'll see. I'm like drowning in my backlog anyway, so it's probably not going to happen.
Yeah.
Because I thought I'd do New Game Plus for The Witcher. That was a joke. There's no way.
But no, I mean it's been fun and it's been super satisfying. I love the story.
It is phenomenal.
Again, I hear people play on lower difficulty and like, oh, they stretched it out too long. There wasn't enough fights. Let me tell you something.
Oh, I don't think that at all. I don't. Maybe.
Like, the only time that time was wasted was because I went around and wanted to hear stories on the boat, and then I just constantly was doing side missions. Like, I would, every time I did a story level, I probably did about 6 or 7 side missions if I could. Or I went around seeing everything I could do because, A, I needed the experience and upgrades because I would just get massacred if I didn't. But it's just, I thought it was odd critiques to me because to me they never felt like they weren't varied enough because it was so hard that really I had to play a different way all the time.
Oh yeah,
Like one was fire, one was ice, like that completely changes what I have to do. Because the first half of the game, because I couldn't fight them mano a mano, if I went in there into a brawl, I would just get killed. I had to throw my axe constantly. So I got really good at throwing my axe.
Mm.
And then, you know, as the game went along, I didn't need to do that as much anymore, so I wasted all those upgrades that I just never used after the first half of the game.
Oh, I see.
And then it becomes like being able to fight, you know, one-on-one, and then switching and using more of your runics, but the first part, it was just like throw my axe and then use my runics when I could, you know, as soon as they got charged up, but just try not to die. And then it just become a little bit more ballsy as the game went along.
Normal does a good job of also really equating those, I think. And also, what I also especially love about that is that which is the same case in Bayonetta when you do it on normal difficulty, is that you learn a lot about, the game gives you a lot of pushback and a lot of like really thinking about your fights in the challenge areas. And so I was like, that's when I was like, okay, I need to like really put an emphasis on stun. That's when I like really, you know, like, okay, this is the best, you know. And you have to, that's what I liked about it a lot, was that there was, the challenges were varied enough that you did have a different thought pattern. I'm like, okay, I can't get hit, so I definitely need to make sure that these guys are stunned all the time. So
you know,
I
change what's
all
funny?
My wounds out and all that. Yeah.
In the God of War mode of stun, mm-hmm. it's about two less hits than if you killed them.
It's I can believe it. It's so weird in that what I like is that you can ratchet it up depending, and like you can really ratchet up depending on what, you know, if you just go all out on stun, which I love to do that. It's max out on stun.
Yeah, and it like, just goes away like, too fast. And then certain clients still recharge and get stronger and gain all their health back. I mean, it was a slog. It was definitely, again, like I hear videos like, oh, you know, hardly anybody regenerates health. I'm like, motherfucker, every single one of them regenerated their health. I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, they do, yeah. I mean, they do in God of War mode.
So, yeah, it's just a completely different game for me than what other
Truly.
People played.
I mean, yeah.
Don't recommend doing it the first go around.
I would not recommend that either, actually. I can already tell you that. I can tell you that with a splash screen. When it's telling me that you can't start, you can't even change the difficulty down. Like, yeah, okay, I'm not going to do that.
But no, it was, it's fun. I mean, it's really like the best game I've played in a while.
This generation is really hitting its stride, I think.
I mean, I really liked Fractured Butthole, but, you know, it's a different type of game.
Way different. I really think last year was, I mean, then God of War was not last year, but I really think last year was as good as, we're talking like 1998 levels. Like, there were so many games I just had. I mean, Zelda and Mario and Persona 5 was incredible, and wow, Yakuza 0 is absolutely amazing. That might be my favorite game last year, actually. And it just felt like every second there was something. I mean, Resident Evil 7, especially in VR mode, like that was just something. Like that was a great way to kick off the year. And it just felt like every clip, everything was just incredible. I guess the only thing that really like didn't live up to the hype was Mass Effect, but it didn't really matter when everything else was.
Oh, poor like, EA.
Oh, man. Oh, yeah. You know, but you know, it's just, well, I guess on the flip side of that, A Way Out was really cool. I didn't play it, but I heard a lot of cool stuff about it and watched some cool videos on it.
And this year seems like it's going to be good, too.
Yes.
I mean, God of War was great.
We got three huge tentpoles coming. We've got God of War, which is, I don't really think either Spider-Man or Red Dead can beat it.
This was my really smooth transition into E3.
Oh, yeah.
Like you said, you know, you got Spider-Man that looks pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
I say it as this, it's what it is. It's Arkham Asylum with Spider-Man. And that is 100% okay.
I want to get into that because I've been listening to a lot of hands-on, people with hands-on impressions, and they're talking about, I mean, I heard one person maybe say that it was a little too much like Arkham for them, but everyone else I had said was like, it was. The combat was incredible. Like, better it was because it was a little more frenetic than Batman. And they
you could get pretty frenetic in. I mean, especially in the later ones, and you start this combo in like an.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I think people were starting to just amazed at how like it wasn't as routine as they expected it to be, because they think of the spider sense that it's going to be a lot like the dodge mechanic.
Yeah.
And then, like, it's not actually, like, you are, like, required to pay attention on, like, your more basic fights than they anticipated.
That's cool. I mean, yeah. To me, it does look good.
Oh,
it's very fun.
It looks great. I mean, everything I see, it makes it look good, but it is the hands-on, people with the hands-on impressions I see from the E3, that they just, everyone walked away just mind blown. So I guess
that's out in 2 months.
Yeah, so like we'll have it for ourselves, but people were just over the moon about how good it was.
So
I was the best on the floor demo.
So do you want to go through console by console, or?
Well, I think it just depends on however y'all kind of covered Sony. I guess the first thing I kind of want to do is just like talk. I mean, how much did they talk about Cyberpunk? Because I feel like that needs to be addressed. Obviously,
I don't know how much they talked about Cyberpunk.
Okay,
me personally, I think it looks hot garbage.
Well, I mean, you're just going off that trailer, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I get that like idea from it, but yeah, I mean, it's.
And I think it's because like we've had Blade Runner. I saw that. Yeah. I mean, I saw that shit movie Mute that's on Netflix, like right before E3. So like all those like futuristic cyberpunk stuff, it's just like almost seems played out.
Yeah, I can kind of get that.
And I haven't had a lot of it in a video game, but just in other medium, it's been gone to the forefront.
And it's hard for me to talk about it first from the trailer. And I, as much as I did really enjoy the trailer, I mean, there's not a lot. It's just kind of like, what are those typical world building trailers? So it's not and it, granted, there's a lot of stuff that's there, but wow, it was pretty much from what I saw, the universal game of the show based on that behind closed doors demo. So, and that's what everybody's ranting and raving about, is that it's truly like the, I think the best way I heard it described was like, it is the game that feels like it's 5 years away. Like it feels like it's a game from 5 years from now, delivered today. It's like, it's the density of the people there that like have like actual, the NPCs like seem to have like actual lives, and it's like an actually dense populace.
You know what I feel like we heard the same thing about?
What?
No Man's Sky.
But I feel like that was what we were being told and not like what we were seeing, and it was like based on that algorithm. I was, you know, I get that, but I don't, but there was nothing to me that communicated what the promises were so much as like I was afraid more was just gonna be palette swaps. And apparently it's pretty good now that they've had a little more time with it.
Yeah, I mean, I know Anthony likes it, but a lot of it could have been, you know, our own expectations, because it just, it looked like you said, something we had never seen before and what the future was going to be, and we probably put too much on its shoulders, and there was just no way it could ever deliver on what it was actually going to be. But I also don't like, mark it as something that's like going to change the game forever, and like you said, the algorithms and whatnot.
It's also like, it was one of those things to me that it was, some of the flags were there, I think, just because that studio is tiny.
Yeah.
And CD Projekt or Project, I guess, depending on where you're from. I mean, they technically say Project, but they're on top of the world now. They're definitely in the upper echelon now, coming off of Witcher, and everybody wanted to see what they can. And they've been working on this to some capacity for, I don't know. I mean, they released a trailer for Cyberpunk before they even showed anything for The Witcher 3. I know they've been working on this at least to some capacity for a long time, and went like pretty much near the end of Witcher, and they just pretty much were all in on development for this. So they've had some time with it. And this is kind of the same, because they did the same thing with Witcher. They did behind closed door demo that they never released publicly. And so, I mean, it's probably still, you know, I imagine it's probably going to be right there on the end of the console generation. I think it's probably going to be 2 years away. I think it's going to be both. I think it's going to be the PS4, PS5 kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, I absolutely love The Witcher, and everyone really loves this behind closed doors demo. It's going to be, it's a huge team that really can deliver. And the other thing I like about it, what I like about that team, is that they're really The Witcher in the beginning versus The Witcher at the, just as I was playing it, the updates were constant, and it was quite a bit different and quite a bit improved just with quality of life things from when it launched. I mean, that pretty much any small gripe you could think of was eliminated at some point or improved. So that's one thing that's kind of also nice about those. I'm just really excited about it, mainly from the pedigree. It's hard to do anything based on that trailer, so I definitely get why you're skeptical. But from what I've, just the rumblings about how great it was, and then just the team behind it, that's what really gets me excited.
Yeah, I mean, again, all of it has to do with, like, things just seem way too familiar. And sure. So it has nothing against what the game might deliver on.
Yeah, and I get that. I really get that, because there's definitely, like, a cheesy, like, there's that really kind of, like, generic cyberpunk vibe about it. Like, even, like, the edgelord dialogue, like narrating dialogue. Yeah, yeah. So I get it.
And also, like, The last time they did this was Watch Dogs, and it was woof.
Yeah.
And so it's just, you know, I don't want them to get this wrong again. But,
yeah,
so was that, like, to you the most impressive thing at E3 was the Cyberpunk, just because of Roblox, what you heard?
I can't say that because I didn't see it, but man, it was, okay, who did, from what, there was a tweet that I saw is that there hadn't been that much commotion or people talking about a demo since, like, the Star Wars 1313 demo, like, 5 or 8 years ago. And granted, that game got canceled. But yeah, I mean, it had that kind of fervor among people who could see it. Like, people were clamoring to get in for this. So, I mean, yeah, it's got, it has the promise, but I can't say. The thing that I was most impressed with that I got to see, we got to see as an audience was The Last of Us.
Really? That was your thing?
Because I think what really hits that point home to me is
dumb venues aside.
Yeah, we can get it. Totally. From people that said they were there, that they didn't have the impact, because I was like, I mean, it's kind of cool, but I don't know why you couldn't just have the rest of the conference in there as well. Yeah. But apparently, it was also freezing cold there in that church. So maybe it wasn't worth it at all. What really strikes with me here is that I think, when I think about Naughty Dog, I think about the upgrade from Uncharted 1 to 2, and like what a monumental like shift that was for the industry. Like that was like the bar where it was, okay, these things that were cutscenes. Granted, Uncharted has a lot of cutscenes, but they're really great cutscenes. But a lot of the stuff that you, the action stuff that you didn't, you got control taken away from you in, was what you got to jump from Jeep to Jeep.
Yeah.
In like a cinematic, cool way. You fought on the train with the bullets curving, you know, and your momentum shifting in the train. Like that, like those set pieces, that was a new thing, at least to my mind. That was, you know, it kind of really elevated where our expectations were at. And I think, you can see that, I think, in this from how many people refused to believe it was an actually played demo.
Yeah.
In the idea, I think it's the small things that you don't know until, I mean, you can see it when you play it, but I think it's also like when you actually have your hand on the controller and see it's the AI. And I think that's what we've been waiting for on like, what is this generation's thing? And I think as we're finally reaching that, this, it's more about the AI and the systems that are in place. I watched there's a good, E3 has these Coliseum talks where they go to like a separate venue within E3 and they take some really deep dives. There's some pretty cool stuff. There was one with Nolan on like the games that inspire Westworld and stuff like that. But this one I thought was probably my favorite one was the Last of Us one talking about kind of like the technical aspects of how they got a lot of this stuff to work. But it's from the enemy characters having names and like actually like contact, talking with each other, having like learning processes. And, you know, not everybody knows where you are. But one person may know where you are, and they can communicate that to other people, and that will spread, and then they will all like look for you in different ways, or they'll know you're in a generic area. And you can see that in the demo where they know she went inside the shed, but they don't know where. And so then they're also like telling her, okay, you need to fan out, and they're talking to each other and communicating to each other on how to do those things. You can see it in the amount of cover systems that it's an elevated cover system. We're talking about In 4, Uncharted 4, it's just like the generic, you're in the grass, they can't see you.
Yeah.
Type thing. And this is like a level of coverage. If you're there too long, they can find you. If you're not down low enough, that, you know, if they focus on that area, they're going to spot you.
Well, that was kind of the thing in the reverse with God of War, is like your son, he gets better throughout the game. And that was really cool.
Yeah, he becomes instrumental. I thought he was probably, I mean, there's a lot of great movesets, but I thought he was invaluable.
I had to upgrade him constantly.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no.
It's a lot to say about the AI character, because you can take that direct comparison to Ellie, and as good and useful as Ellie was in The Last of Us, I mean, you can just see what the difference those years make in tech. Like, I mean, there's no, I mean, Atreus was way better. And just in the sense that, like, he didn't run in front of enemies. You know, it was just a technical limitation. But, you know, we're not, I guess we're past that now. On some, you know, on a lot of these high-end, these high-budget AAA games. And I think the other things that really strike me about, besides all that, is the pulling the arrow out of, Ellie pulling the arrow out of her arm, or her actually grabbing.
Yeah.
It's not just a pop it, you reach for it and pop it in. It is like she takes it and, like, puts it in there. She takes the bullets or whatever, you know, and she pulls them out of somebody. She grabs it herself. The way the momentum of the swings, how she, of like the pickaxe and things like that, and how all those are usable items for her and for others. If she leaves it, someone else will pick it up. If she, like, everybody can use the same items. And granted, it may be a one-handed axe for them and a two-one for you, but everything in the world is useful. I think the one of the biggest shots I can think of is that moment where she's running full speed and in one fluid motion grabs and throws the bottle.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, those, they're talking about, those are like also like learned, those are like AI things that they used to have to script. Now they're like, they have these buckets of choices, and the AI can kind of decide how they want to do it, and they kind of learn from that. And they make these non-scripted decisions that give you that, those natural walking motions that you, that they couldn't strip, you know, actually script for every instance on, for every layer of the grass and things like that.
Well, you're right. I mean, you were talking about the weighted thing, and I'm sorry to keep going back to God of War, but like,
no,
that was the thing, was with the axe. Is like, man, when you swung, like, you definitely had to know what you were doing, because if you did too many things, you were effed.
Oh, yeah. Oh man. And speaking on that, there is a great video about the axe technology and about, like, just how important that is for impact, and how Corey Marlowe, the director, and some, you know, on pretty much any action game you can think of, the animation of attacking is the exact same. When you make contact, is the same as if you miss. Where in this, like, part of what gives the axe so much weight and heft when you make contact is that the body actually does, and it's very minute, but you can, but it is what conveys.
Yeah, you definitely notice it. I mean, yeah, you definitely notice you're recovering when you miss versus when you hit.
Yeah, and like, he swings all the way through, but when you make that contact, it actually, his body actually, like, it sticks in the body, and his body rotates a little bit more, and before it pops off, like, you know, his arm stays in place.
Yeah.
And it really, yeah, to really convey the heft of making contact on something. And so, yeah, I mean, it's those changes, and to really, what to see, I mean, it felt like a cutscene for the most part, and I guess that's what, you know, we're always... I guess that's always the end goal, is to get it to look as much as a cutscene as possible. But I was just really amazed by not only the fluidity of those motions, but really, like, the AI, the way they communicate to each other, the freezing and, like, looking around, making, like, informed choices, not the whole group not immediately abandoning the search when they can't find you, or immediately everybody knows exactly where you are the second one person spots you. Like, you know, those are just things you take for granted that we won't have to anymore, probably.
Yeah, it's going to probably take a weird... It's going to be probably an adjustment period to it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The game for me, and now that you bring up all these technical things, you can definitely see there's some kinks with it, was Ghost. I thought it looked pretty.
I think on
the... But on the, like you said, the technical stuff, I definitely think they definitely got some work to do on it. But as a game, I just think it looks gorgeous. The color scheme, the color palette is beautiful.
Well, it was the one I was most anticipating coming in. And really, it's maybe the one I'm still most excited about. I was like, I guess that's what I was like most... That's what I want to say, is I'm most impressed with The Last of Us. But Ghost is brand new. There's just something about that being brand new and being, like, exactly what you've wanted for so long.
Yeah.
That really, you know, it just really hits home. I feel like everyone in the world has wanted that type of, that samurai game. Like, what they're making. Like, that thing, I mean, it's just hitting on all the cylinders. It's hitting, checking every box. I mean, I don't know if there was a better moment. My favorite, probably, moment of E3 was that first, like, where he has the sword sheathed from, like, the standing, you know, and just does that slash from, like, standstill motion and then just the blood spatter. That was, you know, that is, I mean, that's exactly what you've always wanted to do. Like, that's, like, one of the coolest things. You just, like, it's just impossible to do in real life, I guess. I would assume.
You're going to slaughter some ninjas, too.
It's, like, it's just insane to me. Like, that was the coolest. That is so much wish fulfillment. All of that. From the really cinematic showdown, finale showdown, to just riding in those beautiful vistas, to even, like, just the kind of Arkham-style, like, stealth ninja stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the grappling and climbing.
Yes, all of that. Oh my gosh! Yeah, we can talk about it all. We could talk about that all day. I just love Ghosts. That was definitely what I'm most excited about. I cannot wait for that.
Another one. I thought when I saw the first trailer last E3, I thought, was Metro.
Yes,
that's what it's called. I was like, I saw this other one. I'm like, oh, that looks cool.
It does, and I'm listening to some people talk about. I was like listening to some people who like actually kind of follow those games, and like they were really hyped on it, and they really liked the other.
Yeah, yeah. I had for whatever reason, they are Xbox fans that really were excited about that. You know, of course, they had Halo, ho hum, whatever, and then Gears. Oh. But Gears is always, to me, has just been always solid. It's always been
Oh, it's great. it's always exciting. That's what really, that's always what sells the system for me. But I get that. I mean, what I like about the Halo, the Halo Infinite trailer doesn't have a lot going on, you know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's no reason to really dwell on that too much.
No.
But I thought it did, like, tick the boxes of, okay, forget, like, the story of, like, you know, we're going to try to just kind of reset this to, like, the fun parts of Halo. Like, they definitely are making the OG Halo, the old helmet push, but even just like the aesthetic of being on a Halo and just kind of the fun of the Warthog, like it at least gave
digging around with your friends, blowing shit up.
Yeah, it kind of got back to, because I was never really into the story to begin with, so like I just kind of like that was the at least the approach they took. We'll see what happens from it, but I was more encouraged by that than I've been by any of the Halos since, like, probably Reach. I have turned a pretty much a blind eye to it. So that one actually did impress me a little for what it was.
So, yeah, the Metro thing, it was more of, like, that seemed like the only game that would make me want to get an Xbox.
Yeah.
Like I said, you know, I like Gears. Gears is fine, but I always got to keep in mind cost of having, oh gosh, what is it even called now? Xbox Gold or Xbox Live? Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Because I don't play a whole lot of online games.
Yeah.
And, I mean, really, the PlayStation Plus is just to play Monster Hunter with my friends with. That's besides streaming.
The games are usually, I mean, I've
yeah,
really
the free
enjoyed
games
a lot of
sweet.
The free
games.
They've been good. Yeah, I mean, a lot of times, you know, you probably already have what they are, but, you know, but not always.
I didn't have Until Dawn.
Yeah, I didn't have
Broforce.
No, yeah, exactly. I mean, it's a great place for the indie titles, especially, but there's plenty of things that I've even wanted to get that were really on my radar. Like, I was really excited, for Until Dawn. And it's weird how that some of the, like, just having the free copy of Bloodborne just got me to put Bloodborne back in.
Yeah.
Which was kind of is another effect. Same thing with Metal Gear. Metal Gear, wow. That's a weird one. Metal Gear Solid 5, in some ways, is my favorite game of this generation. But it can't, like, there's things that just because it's kind of unfinished, you know, it just kind of just ends that. Makes me you feel like it's kind of disqualified from that. But we're talking about minute to minute, just the feel of it. It's just my favorite thing. I haven't had that kind of like fun of just I run around and punch people, my cadets on Mother Base just for fun and dive and shoot and just do weird things. I haven't done something like that since Mario 64. Like it's that kind of, I have that just kind of fun of like I just want to jump around and do it. I just like love to run. I love to do that. You can hear that dun-dun-dun-dun-dun sound when you like do the haymaker thing with your fist. It's it's just insane fun. Everything about it, the minute-to-minute gameplay, just I'm just overjoyed with. I love taking out D-Dog and having him slit someone's throat. I love just ride, like I just love just like stealth riding on the horse when you're getting by and just like slide to the side when you're in like a full gallop. You can take out the mech, like bring it, call in your helicopter and it'll play like Rebel Yell while it guns down people. There's something about it. It's just, all of it together is just it's just beauty. That's what gets me so excited about. That's just another thing that gets me so excited about Death Stranding. Also. It's just I know I'm gonna love it. I'm just so in. No matter how the weirdness, I love the weirdness of this. I love not knowing anything about it.
Really, yeah, I mean, that's the thing is you see the gameplay and I'm still like I still don't know what's happening.
All we got was walking.
Walking and there's ghosts like 10 feet above you.
It's just so yeah. And I have to hand it to like people like the community people who like try to like really dig into this stuff. People recently figured out like one of the necklaces is this old, I can't remember, I'm definitely gonna botch this, it was some ancient form of communication with knots. And I know Kojima has talked a lot about like he talks about this principle of ropes and sticks and like ropes being that what connects us and sticks being what separates. And like, you know, so just kind of tying off of that, since this is communication of not tying in ropes. So I mean, there's definitely something there. But I just love the people who like really take the time to like make these discoveries.
Yeah, I mean, it looks gorgeous too. I mean,
it looks.
Do you think they're gonna postpone it as a PlayStation 5 launch?
It really feels that way. You know, like it feels like it's one of those that it's just. I mean, well, I think about it. When they announced it, or they showed anything of it, like, oh man, when? Let's see, it's like 3 or 4 years ago that when they started on this.
Yeah.
And so you know, I just feel like it's got to be still so far out. Like I can't imagine it being before 2021. So yeah, I think so, and if you're going to go off what Microsoft pretty much let loose that the next system's coming out in 2020, then yeah, it looks that way. I'd have to say, I mean, it doesn't feel like a game that's coming out in 2020. So, who's to say? I mean,
Microsoft.
They made a point. I feel like Sony also made a point this time to like not put any release dates out that weren't already out there. Like, I almost feel like that's also why Days Gone was. Before the showcase in the week, so they could just put the release.
I don't give a crap about that game.
I don't think anybody does. But
I mean,
it's
cool that the animals have the virus, yeah. But it's just kind of like, eh.
I think it's just Sony's definitely got that vibe because they pushed it out front. Like that could have easily been a showcase game, but they just trotted it out the week. You know, in the days leading up to E3.
Yeah, because no one gave a crap about it. After yeah. E3 last year, like it was just, yeah. It just kind of came and went.
And you hear like I'm really interested. I'm really interested in how it does or how it will, because some of the stuff I heard about it is like it's actually pretty cool, like just how like persistent the zombies are and stuff. But you know, there's just so much to play and there's so much going on that it's really hard to say. You know, like I walked away from hearing stuff about it more into it than I've ever been because it's been pretty much flatline interest for me. So,
well,
like,
the problem is because you have Last of Us. It's like,
yeah.
Wow, I mean, why am I going to play this?
They're too close together. I mean, even if they're not the same, they are like the optics are just too similar. I'm really kind of surprised that's where they went. Or
yeah.
Like Sony was okay with greenlit that idea. I'm kind of surprised there wasn't pushback. Just for the fact that they're zombies.
All right. I think enough time's gone by.
Mm-hmm.
Kingdom Hearts.
Go for it. It looks so much fun. It looks great. And everything I hear about it is that it plays phenomenally.
Yeah, because the first two are kind of a little wonky sometimes.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
And Yeah, it's because of how controls are now. It's just,
yeah.
You know, you play the remastered version, you're like, why the fuck am I hitting triangle to grab something? or whatever it was. It's like inverted. It's backwards.
It's also weird. Yeah, it's a hard one. I think you can see it's... I mean, you can feel its age. I mean, it's a PS2 game.
Yeah. Yeah. I really hope it comes out 3 days after my birthday. This would be... Or 4 days. I already told my girlfriend that's what you're getting me for my birthday.
Well, you're getting sandwiched because Resident Evil 2 comes out, like, just a few days before.
Yeah, that's fine. I can buy one. She can buy me.
Yeah, and hot dog. Oh, my God. That was, like, I knew that
you... Oh, dude, when that trailer started, I was like, oh, shit.
I mean, that... Wow, you want to talk about... That's been... It's weird on, like, trying to declare things. Like, that, to me, it was, like... Moment was the Tsushima thing, like, most impressed with is Last of Us, but, like, there's something about, like... That was probably maybe like the surprise or like the pump or like the hype moment. That was like my most excited moment. It's like standing up, jumping up and down.
Yeah, you know, and it's funny to kind of tie this into movies is we keep getting all these reboots and all this kind of stuff, and it's just like that's all we're getting.
Yeah,
if it ain't something new with Marvel, it's a reboot of something.
Yeah,
and what's nice about video games, and it sounds like Boomers agrees. Is that they are doing these remakes, like Crash Bandicoot, Spyro.
Yes.
But we're also getting really good games still.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
If they're not just what the market is, and maybe, you know, somewhere down the road they might, but I really think that's what's going to happen with 5, is 5 is going to be, like, the thing that Nintendo did with the Wii U was, you want to play all our old Super Mario Brothers? Here you go. Because I've never believed the BS that PlayStation said about, like, oh, well, it doesn't work out the same way, blah, blah. No. You're just holding that crap in the vault until you can unleash it.
Oh, yeah. It's a great way to flip it, and a great way when you're desperate to flip it up, because Microsoft figured it out. You know it's a crock of crap.
Yeah, but the thing is, PlayStation hasn't had to pull that card out, right? Because,
right,
you know, the thing is with PlayStation is Microsoft probably had a better job of showcasing the games. Like, just multi-platformer games in general.
Yeah.
But, like, PlayStation made me want to get it on PlayStation. Because the titles that they had that were exclusives were awesome. And then, I mean, yeah. I mean, they're the ones who did that Resident Evil 2 thing. And it was just like, yeah. I mean, it was so just... I think that was the loudest the whole crowd was whenever that rat got smashed. And everyone realized, holy crap, this is what it is. Yeah.
That's... Wow. And... Hearing about the demo,
it sounded like Doom. Demo. Whenever Doom was announced years ago, that game is so much fun. But
that one's incredible.
That's what it felt like. It's just like when you just rip that guy in half, and it's just like, yes, like you just remember all those feelings you had of just racking up, killing dudes, and getting health again. That's why I like God of War a lot. Is I just had to get in this Doom mindset of like the only way I'm going to get health is I have to murder everything as efficiently as possible.
That's
just how you play Doom. It's just I didn't have a gun.
And the thing is, you're really nailing that on both of those in the sense of the reboot is that, and there are plenty of reboot, like half-baked reboots. And I really, you know, this has been totally. You can talk about it, the turnaround of Capcom. Like they went from the Marvel Infinite game, and then it's like it didn't seem like it was going to get any worse for Capcom. It looked like they were on the ropes, and they between Mega Man 11 and Monster Hunter World, and now with this reboot, they've put there's a reason they announced this so long ago and just released it, because they have put a ton of TLC in this. I mean, they knew that this was the one that a lot of the hardcore
Sink or Swim,
and they knew that this was the one that the hardcore Resident Evil fans love the most. So they knew like this was the one they had to really drive home, and it you can see it. There's a great
That or 4, but the thing is like 4 is not really old enough to want that.
Yeah, I mean we're talking a 20-year-old game for it too. Yeah. So
I remember when you got 4. That was so funny.
Oh man, and 4, everyone, four. I mean, 4 is my favorite. It's one of my favorite games of all time. Yeah. But it's just like it. It's cool also to see, too, like, to have this over the shoulder. But, wow, the way they're really incorporating this visceral fear of, like, everything is pitch black with a flashlight. And they're changing stuff up a little bit. They still have the same ideas, but they're also not recreating it one for one. They're adding stuff. They keep mentioning that we have a bathroom in the police department now. And like, you know, like, yeah, but they also are not putting everything exactly as you remember. So like they're like putting you in a room that you're like, we're deliberately afraid. Like, oh, that was a room with all the, with like five zombies in it. And like, but then they force you to go in there first instead. So they're changing it just enough to give you that edge of fear while it's still being something you're completely familiar with.
Yeah, like, I remember what's in there. I don't want to go in there. Why are you making me go in there?
Go in there. Yeah, exactly. You're like, oh, I'm not supposed to go in there. I'm not ready. And then like, okay, maybe, or they'll just throw a different surprise at you. It's all within the right spirit, and they really captured an essence, and like improved it in a way that I couldn't have really imagined how good it would be. Like, I'm just kind of shocked at just like the how good it really is, how good it looks, and the demo looked incredible.
I know, I love how I brought up Kingdom Hearts, and we just immediately started talking about Resident Evil
2. Well, I got sidetracked, but yeah, well,
no. I mean, it's because like as cool as Kingdom Hearts looks, like that was. Resident Evil 2, man, they showed like almost no gameplay. I mean, I know they did later on, but it was just even the trailer alone, like I think everybody in that room was like, I'm gonna play the crap out of that game when it comes out.
Love that trailer just for that build up. That really made that. It was just incredible.
And like you said, the demo, I mean, it looks so good. And it's because it looks good because of what you're used to seeing it look like.
I mean
you're right though. Capcom, I mean they have definitely turned the ship around. I mean,
yeah,
it helps when you make a shitload of money off of Monster Hunter. I mean, it's I don't why you were limiting this to like DSs and not multi-platformers, but
I think it's such a Japanese catered game originally. You know, that there's like the handheld thing, when it was such a big thing on traveling and handhelds.
Yeah, why, I guess they just didn't realize, you know, how big the American audience was.
Yeah, I think, yeah. I honestly, obviously this is probably in the works before that, but I think they're really coming around to this is a generation especially that has done that, the targeted audiences respond like all globally. Like, yeah. I think Sega was blown away by how well Yakuza 0 did, and now they're remastering all of the games, you know, and Nier Automata did gangbusters as well, and Persona blew it, you know, like Atlas away on the numbers it did. I mean, the word of mouth is like, it's working. It's, if things that weren't viable in the 360 PS3 era, when like, oh, this is too niche, it's not, is it worth even bringing to America, or definitely not worth putting on the modern consoles, is that I think that sentiment's turned around now. Because they'd definitely been like, oh, our Dragon Quests are just going to be on, you know, on Nintendo DS, not on PS4. And I think you're starting to see that shift, which is great for me because I love that stuff, and I'd rather it be like you'd rather be up with modernity where you can play together online. And Monster Hunter is, I don't know if it gets better. I thought that's going to be Game of the Year.
I know, that's the thing, is I keep talking about God of War, but, like, Monster Hunter was a whole lot of fun. That was, like, Monster Hunter was the thing that, like, it got me back to want to do co-op stuff with friends.
Yes.
Because I get tired of, like, shooters because, you know, you might be fighting each other, you're splitting up. But this, like, everyone is banding together to fight the super strong monster just will not die. And it was fun, you know, and you can pick and choose your weapon. So like, that was the thing, is like, you could build a skill set depending upon how you wanted your guild to be or your hunting party. Like, it was just, you know, we would, cause that's what we would do. We get on there, we play. I'm like, oh, hey, you know what? I want to try this weapon out. Okay. Well, I'll keep my really good weapon because I know I can beat the crap out of this and hold my own a little bit while you kind of test it out. So we can kind of see how things are going. You didn't just have to go to the training ground. Like, you could train as a group as long as someone, you know, or, you know, at least if you had a party of four, like, at least, you know, two others were, you know, being tanks while the other two dick around. Like, we did one, like, really early in the game, and, you know, it was dumb, and we all got massacred because we were nowhere close to be able to fight that giant T-Rex. It looks like a turkey. The Ajna or whatever. Because we thought it would be funny if one guy just got a shit bow that he hasn't upgraded, and the other one was a freaking bard with that damn horn.
That's great.
And he played music, and it came, and we all got killed. But you know, like, something like that, like, it really made it fun. Versus like something like playing a shooter, it's just, all right, well, you're dead. Let's sit here and do it. And you know, that was the thing. Like, I got Friday the 13th, and it's okay. It's got a lot of bugs. It's got a lot of problems. And the fact is that, like, always there's someone who's a friend with Jason that's a counselor, and he'll always just betray everybody. And that was the other thing that got really annoying about that game.
That's one of those things that's like asymmetrical multiplayer. It really works when it's the computer that is the issue. I don't know, Evolved sounds so good on paper, just like Friday the 13th, but like that's kind of the issue. Is like if you have one chink in the armor, it just falls apart. Everybody has to be on their A game, or you can't do it.
Yeah, yeah. And I was thinking, like, what's that? Like you said, you're playing against an AI. Yeah. So, you know, or multiple AIs if you know, dickhead monsters want to show up and get in the way.
It just everybody's incentivized because there's no reason to help the monster. Yeah. So it's so much fun that way.
Yeah, because you're gonna lose money and you're gonna get boned too.
Mm-hmm.
As far as like anything else that you wanted to talk about with Xbox, I can't think of anything that we're really missing on PlayStation. We kind of just talked about it all.
Yeah, there's two things that I just kind of wanted to mention was that one was at the Xbox conference was Devil May Cry 5. Obviously, I'm so super stoked for that. Yeah. It's so exciting to have that back. Really, I mean, Bayonetta's kind of had. It's weird how many times I've referenced Bayonetta in this, but like Bayonetta's kind of had rule of the roost in this action department for so long. I mean, I guess there was Nier last year, but really, I mean, Bayonetta and Devil May Cry 5 share a lot of the same space, even to the sense that like Trina, she's killing angels. But it's, I mean, even from the spiritual aspect, it's pretty similar in a lot of ways. She has the same kind of personality. It's, you know, it's interesting. So it's great to have that back and maybe have some parity because this, you can see the heft in like the modern consoles in this. Like they're really putting a big push on this, and it looks fun. And I can't wait to see more of it. I'm just really excited it's back. It was, I guess, kind of a bad, poorly kept secret, but I'm really excited it's there. And I think the other thing is that the weight of exclusives is really, like, Xbox is not blind to it. And they bought up a lot of the people that were already giving them exclusives. So, I mean, so they know that. Like, they're playing the Sony game now. And I think, obviously, the real big announcement was that they bought Team Ninja. And, why am I blanking on that? Because that was one of the best games of last year. Oh, wow. I'm setting a sacrifice, but what was the actual... That's the byline. I can't... But anyway, that was a fantastic game, and that was kind of... that was an experiment, and it really paid off well for them, and so it's really exciting.
Oh, Ninja Gaiden.
Well, yeah, that's what they're famous for, but there was a game last year that I can't... I'm really blanking on the name. It was so good.
Fire Emblem. Oh, Neo.
N-I-O-H? I'm saying Team Ninja. Maybe I mean Ninja Theory. Let me look it up. Let's see. That's too many ninjas. I'm getting confused.
I think you're thinking Ninja Theory.
Yes, Hellblade. Ninja Theory, yeah. Hellblade. Sin with Sacrifice is what I'm thinking of. Yeah. That was so good. Incredible, and so that is a huge get for them. I mean, granted, like they just
Andy
came off.
Serkis was a collaborator on this game. Yeah, I forget that he does a lot of Jim stuff. I forget.
Yeah. That was just really. Oh. Sick.
And the team moved on to develop Enslave and Underforming Project. Alex Garland wrote some of their games. That's neat.
Yeah, it's a really cool studio, and they've done a lot of really cool and like cutting edge stuff, and they've really put themselves out there. I mean, it paid off. I think they were really planning on being independent, but they saw the dollar signs, and I mean, that could be one that really pays off for them, I think. The other thing, let's see, I'm trying to get kind of rapid fire here, because I probably it's time to wrap up, I guess, is that Let's see. I mean, yeah, Super Smash obviously sounds great, and people really seem to... I mean, everyone... It was just Dude, more Smash.
The fact that it's everybody.
It's everybody. It's going to be amazing. I mean, I'm so excited for it. It's a best of.
I mean, it's funny you talked about, like, people forgetting the importance of exclusives, because there are people who... I bought a Nintendo Wii because of yes. Smash Brothers. Unfortunately, it ended up not being the best one. But, like, you know, it's... That's a title that people buy a Switch or a GameCube for mm-hmm. just that game. And it's just funny that something like Xbox is just like, no, it is multiplayer. We're going to get all those because, you know, they only saw shooters as the way of the future. And that's just kind of died down as far as, like, yeah. I mean, not that, not died down. I mean, you definitely make your money that way, but, like, PC's kind of become the way to do it.
Yeah.
And so it's just they... I don't know why it took them so long. I mean, a lot of it has to do with, like, the titles that they picked end up being crap.
It's just
or,
weird.
Or they're also on PC. Like I said, like, something like Cuphead, it's going to go on PC. And that's always going to be their problem, is if they do have a good game, it's going to go on PC.
I think that... And I'm wondering about that, because I don't know... It being Microsoft, I don't know how worried Microsoft is about that. But I
no,
do
I
wonder,
mean, like, it's, you
but
know...
I, but I do wonder what they're going to do with this. I think that maybe their idea is that they're going to have a multiple line of consoles. I think they're going to try that. I think that's what they're going
to
do.
Like, try and get as close as you can to, like, computing power, to where if you yes. were doing either or, you would hopefully not notice a change.
I think that's part of the diversification to PC and to a console, and I think they see the success of Switch, and they think, what, like, can we get a Surface to run this stuff? Like, you know, a high-powered Surface? Like, just have a line of, like,
yeah,
consoles for different, you know, different price points, just, like, kind of diversify it a little bit. Try to get it in a wider net of people over, like, a ubiquitous platform. Like,
I mean, that is the one thing they have over PlayStation.
Yeah, I think that's what they want to say. Like, I think that's what they want to go for, is one symbolic, cohesive whole. Like, you can play this on your PC, then you can take your save, and you can play it on your laptop, you can take your save, you can play it on your, you know, keyboard, Surface, you know, whatever, or whatever, you know, whatever these dedicated...
Man, that would be a... Oh, man, that would be a game changer.
Yeah, I think that's really what they want to do. I think that's what they're pushing for. But I don't know. Maybe I'm totally off base, but that just seems to be...
But if you don't have good games, then whatever.
I think they're trying to do... I think they're really trying to do that. Because I think they feel the pain of having these strong IPs from these studios that they don't own, or BioWare left, or, you know, they used to make exclusive games. Bungie obviously is gone. Epic is multi-platform. Like, all those studios that used to just hammer out their big winners are not making those games anymore. You know, other studios have taken over Halo and Gears of War and stuff. You know, and so I they feel that, and that's why they bought up the guys that were making good games for them. So they know what they're trying to go. They're trying to get the Sony route. They know what they're doing. All
right. Well, what about Nintendo? Besides, you know, Smash.
Yeah. Let's see. Well, they shadow dropped Hollow Knight, which I've been playing, and it's absolutely wonderful.
Yeah, my friend played Hollow Knight. He loved it.
It's wonderful. And it's $15, and it's one of those Kickstarter games yep. that went gangbusters like Shovel Knight. So the content drip is just astronomical, and it's only $15. We're talking like 50 hours of content, like fun content,
mm-hmm.
for $15. I mean, it's a steal. And it's if you like Metroidvania style, it's a great mix of like Metroidvania and Bloodborne, which I know the Souls stuff gets thrown around a lot, but is not in combat, but in some of the aesthetic ideas and a lot of like the environmental storytelling and just like the idea of incentivizing you to confront. That's what Bloodborne does really well, is like giving you health for making contact, and that's the same thing. They give you the juice that you need to heal or use other powers by landing hits on the enemy. So it's a good way of engaging the combat, and it's a great, like, somewhat dreary, but good mix. It's not all dreary, but, like, this kind of this good melancholy feel to it. Great, incredible writing. It's fantastic. But, yeah, and then, of course, Fortnite is now on Switch, which I think is actually a lot of fun that way. It's fun to use that in handheld mode, and it's way better than mobile.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think that's really pretty great. I think that'll really sell systems. Obviously, Smash will be doing well. There was a game, the Daemon X Machina game that they showed, looked pretty fun. I don't really know much about it. I know a lot of people were all about the Killer Queen Black, which is an arcade game that they're porting exclusively to Switch, but I don't know what the Black, I think that's added features. I don't really know what all that entails, but people really enjoyed that from what I heard on the show floor. I guess Pokemon, I guess the Let's Go Eevee and Let's Go Pikachu thing isn't new, but I think people were really, really worried about the combat since the wild Pokemon were just going to be throwing the ball at them ghost style, but it looks like it really is directly, quote-unquote, inspired by Yellow, so it definitely still has, like, regular combat and regular walking around from town to town. So I think that, you know, that I think it'll be a great bridge for people. I don't know if it's something that I'm necessarily interested in, but I think it'll be great for that age range that they're going for, and or just, like, either lapsed players or just players who had go and want to, you know, want to move on, want to move to something else, because you can even transfer, like, Pokemon over.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so, I mean, they're really trying to capitalize on that success, and I think it really, it has to, right? Like, in theory, like, there's going to be so many, like, I can just envision the amount of kids that have got to play Go or either didn't have a phone or allowed to have, a, you know, just, there's a lot of scenarios where, like, well, no, I get to port them over. You know, I just can't imagine that'll really help.
Yeah. Yeah, because, you know, the only thing is they should have done this 2 years ago, you know?
Yeah, they definitely should have. I think some of the fervor will still be there in some ways, but yeah, I mean, yeah, they could have struck a little bit while the iron was a little bit hotter, but I mean, the Switch wasn't ready.
No. That just always seems like Nintendo's thing, is they have a good idea, but it's just always a little too late.
Yeah, that's true. This was like one step behind. But they're on top of the world right now. They're living their best life.
So overall, you thought it was pretty good E3?
I thought it was. I heard this sentiment, which I thought is pretty accurate, is that we're in the best times of the generation, and you can see that with God of War and like these games, that the Sony games are on the horizon. If they're not here yet, they'll be here probably in the next 2 or 3 years. Like, and
because Ghost comes out in December, right? Isn't that its tentative date?
No, I don't know. You have to check that. I really don't know. But I think, yeah, overall, I think it's been an incredible E3. I think people said from, like, just the show floor perspective, like, the demos, one of the best. Like, the games are here. Like, the games aren't, like, in the press conference anymore. Like, they're on the floor to play, and, like, just demo station to demo station, probably the most solid of E3s in a long time. And I think it's true, because I think last year was a high watermark year. And I think it's going to be more of the same. I think with just like Resident Evil and Mega Man, it's like the games, just like the little games that we were talking about, you know, I think they were great. Like, we're just going to be a whole lot of indie stuff and just whatever, like just more like AA, just like stuff that's not like grabbing your attention that we're going to play. I'm like, oh, wow, that was actually really good. You got to play this.
You know, that was so funny because I remember when God of War was announced last year, and it wasn't even like I was like, oh, that's cool. Oh, it'll be Norse mythology. That's neat.
Yeah.
And then it comes, you know, as it comes out, people got to early play it and really, and it just, you know, exploded into the biggest exclusive game PlayStation's ever had.
Right.
So it is neat, like, kind of, I wonder what this year's version of that could be.
Yeah, that's a great question. I don't know, but there's definitely stuff that's
because
out
I feel
there.
Like the thing. I feel like the things that might slip through like that, like, there's moderate hype, you know, around it.
Yeah, usually. I can't imagine what it would be, but there's always, those games always happen.
Yeah.
And there's like a lot of buzz around, I don't think it'll be this year, but it's not this year, but I really think that Resident Evil 2 is going to is going to take over for a chunk of time. I think people are going to just be over the moon about that.
Yeah. What game do you think could be like the biggest letdown? Like something that comes out and they're like, oh, this isn't what I thought it was going to be.
Let's see. Honestly, part of me, well, I don't know about, this is maybe a little bit of a cop-out, but I think, I'm afraid, I think what I can envision, like, we get that or the sentiment around Death Stranding can sour. Like when you get more into the mechanics, people are like, oh, I don't like this. I think it'll be one of those things that people are really not going to enjoy it until they get their hands on it. And they're like, oh, wow, this actually is great. But I think we're going to have that inner period where we actually know what the gameplay is and people are not going to be about it.
Yeah.
I think that could be what it is. Oh, man, but there's plenty of things that, you know, you never really know. It's usually something. Part of me wonders also, like, maybe we don't know anything about Devil May Cry 5 yet. It could be they haven't really had a good run with Devil May Cry in recent times. I think that's one that could be people really excited about, and then it's just a dud.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely possible. So who do you think won E3 this year?
Of the main three, I think Xbox had a better show. Just with the stuff, it's hard to say because like Sony's obviously the one that I'm most excited about. They're the games I'm most excited about. It's really just that one hiccup, but Microsoft didn't have that hiccup of changing stations. It's hard to penalize them that much on that, but yeah. It was just a weird thing that you just felt like it was.
And it wasn't even that you changed venues. You came back to that venue, and then they had another freaking musical interlude.
It's just weird. Yeah, I don't know.
Why did they have to wait for everyone to get in there and sit, and then they started? Like, I feel like as people got in there is when they should have been doing that.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why.
To set the mood when you came in there, instead of come in, sit down, then we're going to try and set the mood and then show the game. Like, that was just so dumb.
It was weird. It was not a thing. I don't know why they had to cut to the talking heads. That was, like, they knew that people were going to panic about that, because that was, like, a panic moment. Why didn't they just show trailers in between? Weird all the way around.
Yeah, it was a weird show. But
that was okay. But yeah, I think maybe that. Really, Ubisoft's was really good. I thought maybe that was one of the strongest ones. Because they just did a really good mix of what they want to do and have talks with good demos and stuff. I will say it's Xbox's year, just for that. The Xbox and Ubisoft are my winners. I'm going to say they're tied.
Yeah, I really thought Nintendo had a pretty good
show. Oh, I really liked their Direct. I mean,
it was very
small.
Good for Nintendo. Like, they kind of get graded on a curve. So.
I think like people were disappointed there wasn't like a one more thing. They went in there saying this is going to be 2018 stuff exclusively, I mean, except for Fire Emblem, which looks really great. But, I mean, that just got pushed back to like barely outside of 2018. So they were sticking to their guns with that. And they also, I think, had the bonus of just they get to do those directs whenever they want. And granted, like they're riding the E3 hype, like they should do more, I think, than what they did. They've done more in the past. But at the same time, like they're doing a really good – they're kind of changing those up now where they tell you what's going on like a few months ahead of time. Like, okay, this is what you can plan for in the next 6 months. Yeah. So that and that's basically what they did this time, which I think is fine. If that's how they want to do them, then more power to them, because I really enjoyed the January one. I would say the January one was almost as good as – I would say it was probably as good as this one. But the main takeaway of that one was that they really wanted to dedicate time to Smash and show that they're really like now for the first time ever like dedicated to the hardcore players. Like they're really looking and making small – they're making
– That only took them two games.
Yeah. They really didn't want to. Ever. Yeah. I think they're pretty adamant about that. They wanted it to be a party game. And they finally like leaned in on that. And they're making a bunch of small but significant changes to all the characters to try to like they're really trying to just do quality of life updates. And I think the Echo Fighters is a really smart change. Mm-hmm. Because I think it's a good workaround for not new characters, but they can add like just like you can have Dixie and as an Echo Fighter to Diddy and things like that. Like, you know, there's a lot of stuff that they can do where they're slightly different, but they're not full-fledged new characters and they can really expand the roster out that way if they want.
Yeah.
And it would be fun. And I'll be just as excited to have an Echo Fighter like that than I would have like a fully fledged new character.
Yeah. Just having different skins would be beneficial. All right. Well, I mean, that's pretty much it. The only other thing is if you wanted to talk about Hereditary for like 5 minutes, because you're the only other human I know who's seen it.
I just wanted to say really very quickly is that I did really like it. It had kind of a great, kind of a good like shining build of buildup of dread.
Yeah, I mean, it was a classic horror film.
Yeah.
And that is not what horror is anymore, mm-hmm. and that's fine. But I think the disappointment after the first weekend is people not... Mm-hmm. When you I talked about the main podcast a couple of days ago, was, you know, you see something say, oh, it's as scary as The Exorcist. It's been so long ago that people haven't seen mm-hmm. The Exorcist, so they have an idea of what The Exorcist is because it's supposed to be super scary, not what The Exorcist actually is. And I feel like that was the problem with some people, is they hear scary and they think jump scares and dumb stuff or slashers. I really think they should have just marketed as classic horror or like suspense thriller, because I don't think they marketed it the wrong way. I just think people are dumb, and so you kind of gotta really coddle mm-hmm. to your, you know, person, I mean, who's gonna be sitting in there. I mean, I had a couple people leave, and I don't know if they were scared or bored.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's a very slow burn at the beginning, so I could imagine that. I think, see, to me, I do kind of blame the marketing in the sense that, like, they did the heart rate monitor thing.
And yeah, so I'm like, that's true.
Like, that's totally misleading on what this is. I'm like, because, like, reading about it, you see that it's, no, there's no jump scares. Like, but they're talking about, oh, yeah, I mean, and maybe a heart did increase. But it's like, that's not what you're thinking about. Like, you're not, it's not a heart pounder. It is, like, an increasing sense of dread. Yeah. And the performances are just, were top notch. I mean, we're talking, like, award worthy.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be disappointed if Toni Collette won the Oscar this year. I feel like she should.
She should. I can't imagine. I mean, there could be something else down the way. That
the son, the daughter.
I just really think, yeah, I think Toni, like, it's hers to lose. I think she should be the front runner. That was an incredible performance.
But yeah, I thought it was great. I thought it was really good. It was the second best movie I saw this month, because Incredibles 2 came out, and it was amazing.
I can't wait. I'm dying to see it.
I know. All right, man. Well, we're just going to close on out. You know, pretty much everything's going to be on the one feed now.
Okay, so, awesome.
So, I mean, you've got Level Your Gear, where they did talk about E3, but I think it was more in the... Which we did talk about PlayStation a lot, but I think it was more just PlayStation. I don't know how rounded out they were with talking about other platforms.
Sure.
You know, Better Call Saul will eventually come back, because...
Oh, boy.
Yeah. I cannot wait for that show. Oh, my gosh.
So good.
Just so good. Some might say better than Breaking Bad, but that's just me.
There you go.
And, but yeah, man. Thanks for hopping on here.
It's a pleasure. Thank you, man.
All right. Bye, everyone.